Welcome to Growing International, where you hear from educators like yourself, students, and experts in the field of international education on how to grow your study abroad programs and internationalize your campuses. I'm your host, Jody Littleton, a professor of communication and a study abroad coordinator for Parkland College. I couldn't do this show without the support of Parkland College, a community college located in Champaign, Illinois, as well as the Consortium of International Studies and Programs and the Community Colleges for International Development. Whew! With all that out of the way, let's get started. Welcome, everyone. I have Lindsay Powers here. She is the Senior Program Officer in Education Practice at IREX. So welcome, Lindsay.
Thanks. It's great to be here with you.
Lindsay, I'm excited. I'm part of some of your programming, but I'd just like you to tell everyone a little bit about yourself and a little bit about IREX.
Yeah, great. So I have been with IREX for about 4 years now. And for those of you who are listening that are unfamiliar with IREX, it's the International Research and Exchange Board. And we are a global development and education organization. We focus on connecting with people and helping to develop education and leadership, information, and youth across nearly 100 countries around the world. So that is what IREX focuses on. And I specifically have been helping to manage a virtual exchange program called Global Solutions. Before IREX, I was living and working in Jordan and also teacher training development programs. And I work on a few other programs at IREX as well, but I know that we're going to be talking primarily about the Global Solutions virtual exchange program. So yeah, that's a little bit about me and my background and what IREX is.
Okay, wonderful. And I'm very excited, just so also the listeners know, I am participating in the Global Solutions program. This is my first time, so I am so excited about it, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to share it on this podcast. So, Lindsay, first give an overview of the Global Solutions program. Where did it come from? Where are you guys going with it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love talking about virtual exchange. So it's really exciting to be able to share more about it. So Global Solutions is implemented by IREX. It is a program that is funded by the Stevens Initiative, which is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State with funding provided by the U.S. government and is administered by the Aspen Institute. And so the Stevens Initiative really is this international effort that is focused on building global competence and career readiness skills for youth across the United States and the MENA region, primarily through virtual exchange. And so they've got lots of different grantees that are doing various different types of virtual exchange programs. And so IREX, we have developed Global Solutions, which is, you know, underneath the Stevens Initiative. And Global Solutions, we started it back in 2017. We are now in our fifth cohort. So we've been going several years now. In our first cohort, over 2 years, we had a total of 315 students. We were working with three institutions, community colleges in the U.S., and then three in Jordan. And we've since expanded to reaching nearly 1,000 students per cohort. So in this fifth cohort that we're implementing now, we have roughly 1,000 students that are participating, and we've expanded out to Iraq as well. So we are connecting institutions and university students, community college students in the U.S. and Iraq and Jordan. So we have scaled this virtual exchange. We're very excited about it and have continued to kind of morph the programs and tweak them each cohort along the way, making it more beneficial for our partners. So yeah, that's kind of where Global Solutions has come from. And what is Global Solutions? We actually have two different virtual exchange programs that sit under Global Solutions. We have one that is more project-based and one that's more conversations focused. So we started with the one that's called the Sustainability Challenge. So Global Solutions Sustainability Challenge. And this is it's like a virtual business competition where we have students working on binational teams. And they're paired U.S. students with Iraq students or U.S. and Jordan, and they compete in an 8-week challenge where they're having to design the most sustainable business concept to a real need within their local communities related to the UN's 17 sustainable development goals. And at the very end, they have to submit a business concept, and we have a panel of judges who are experts within entrepreneurship, and they select the top 6 teams who then present live at our culminating event, which is the Virtual Business Expo. And essentially, it's almost like a virtual Shark Tank, if you will. And we have judges who then select the top 3 teams who are awarded a small grant to further develop their business concept. So that's the Sustainability Challenge that's underneath the Global Solutions Program. And then we have a more light touch virtual exchange, which is called the Global Solutions Conversations Program. And this has been designed basically out of hearing a lot of the feedback from our partners and community college and university faculty saying, we love the challenge program, but it's really project-based and it's a lot of work. Do you also have more of a lighter touch virtual exchange that we can implement within our courses? And that's how Conversations was developed. And that is a 6-week dialogue where students are paired on binational program or binational teams, and they dialogue around the UN's sustainable development goals. They go through the design thinking process of, you know, what is a challenge or a need in their community. And then they brainstorm solutions. So there's not really developing a concept. They're more just talking about solutions. And the focus more of the Conversations program is that ability to have that cross-cultural communication. So those are essentially kind of a summary of the 2 different programs that we offer underneath Global Solutions and where we've come from and where we're headed. We would love to continue to scale this program. We are currently outreaching for the spring 2022 cohorts program. So that's a little bit of overview.
Great. And like I said, I am doing the Global Conversations, and I do appreciate that, the fact that you have those 2 options. I felt like for somebody first starting out like me, I had never done anything like this before. Having the options of doing kind of the Global Conversation first to get my feet wet, and then going into maybe next semester or the following fall doing the Global Challenge, really felt more comfortable to me. So I was really happy that you had those choices.
Yeah, and a lot of our, you know, faculty have said exactly the same thing. We have, you know, various different faculty implementing Global Solutions. So like yourself, those who have maybe never done the virtual exchange before, they want to get their feet wet and just kind of test out this virtual exchange experience. And they start with Conversations, and then they develop out to, wow, this is really great. I'd love to take it further and do the challenge. We actually also have faculty that come in doing the challenge, and then for the next cohort, they implement both the challenge and the Conversations. So, you know, it really is, we're trying as best to develop a virtual exchange that meets the needs of faculty. So,
yes. One of the things I thought about as I was starting this program this fall is, you know, there's more than just me could do it on my campus. We have an honors program that the honors program director was very excited about the program. And actually, I have several honors students doing it for their projects, their honors project. And I had some sociology teachers that were like, oh my gosh, this sounds amazing. So, you know, my thought was, wow, we could do like a Global Conversations and a challenge probably in, you know, in the same semester with just different faculty running different ones. So that was pretty cool. Speaking of faculty, how do faculty go about implementing Global Solutions? What, in your experience, what type of faculty have participated? And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, just like, you know, what you were just saying, we have, it really depends on the challenge and the Conversations. For our challenge program, the more project-based exchange, it really suits itself well to business and entrepreneurship. Since it is a virtual business competition, we do provide the curriculum. So it is verbatim laid out, and it's designed in such a way where it can be student-led. So really the faculty are just having to facilitate the student learning experience. So we have a lot of, for the challenge program, a lot of faculty who come in and it fits really well within a business course or an entrepreneurship course. We do have, but with the challenge program, we have had faculty who are English, who are global studies, humanities, technology and information, who implement the challenge program and they embed it within an existing course. We have also had faculty who design an actual course around the challenge curriculum. So we've had that happen as well, especially if faculty come in and they experience the challenge program, they've embedded it within a course and they say, this is actually a course itself. And then, you know, the next cohort, they design it around that. For the conversations program, it varies across the board. And like you were saying, we have many faculty that actually implement it within an honors club or an entrepreneurship club, and you bring in students who are across different fields and studies to collaborate and work together. So for the conversations, it also lends itself very well to English language learners or really any course in itself. If you're simply looking to bring in that virtual exchange touch, if you're looking to internationalize or globalize your curriculum, it's a great opportunity to do that. So we do have faculty implementing it in various ways. And that's what's really great about the curriculum, is that it's designed to be flexible. And faculty can really say, this is how we want to implement it to meet our needs. So
this semester, I took volunteers, but next semester, I actually teach a group communication course. So I am going to try to incorporate it into that course. So I can totally see that for both sides. So I think you've already touched a little bit on some of the benefits for faculty, and you're welcome to touch more on those, but also just wanted to have you talk a little bit about the benefits for students, and then also if you want to expand a little bit more on benefits for faculty.
Yeah, sure. So I'll just, you know, kind of continue on with the benefits for faculty. You know, obviously, for faculty who are looking to bring in that international element or globalizing the curriculum, it's a great way to be able to do that. We do provide CEU credits for the training that faculty go through for the challenge program. So that's another benefit for faculty looking to gain those additional credits. But then, you know, there's this partnership development that happens for faculty who are implementing the program. We've seen multiple times over where faculty establish great relationships with their partner facilitators in Iraq or Jordan. And then after the program, they continue the institutional partnership and they develop additional programs. It spurs on development of new programs at their institution, specifically maintaining that partnership. So that's a great benefit as well for faculty and just becoming a part of an alumni network that is focused on virtual exchange. So those are some of the benefits as well for the faculty. For students, I mean, I could talk for a long time, I think, on the benefits for students. You know, specifically thinking about the challenge program, it is designed as a project-based program that really models the modern workplace. Students are essentially really modeling a startup company in a sense over an 8-week course or 8-week time frame, and they're put onto Slack. If you're not familiar with those who are listening, Slack is a really well-known collaboration forum that large and small companies such as Beachbody and others are using in the workplace. And so students in the challenge program are actually put onto and given access to Slack, and they collaborate and communicate on Slack as if they're this startup company, and there's leadership roles within it. And so students really participating in that challenge program walk away with workforce development skills. They're developing global competencies, problem solving. They're going through the design thinking process, which is an excellent skill to have and take into any future company. And we have many students that will actually put on their resumes participating in this program, especially it's State Department funded. That's one. They become alumni of the State Department, essentially afforded opportunities as if they were in a study abroad program with the State Department. So there's great benefits for students to be able to access with that. But the workforce skills that they are developing, really, we have students that will talk about this program in interviews and land jobs just because of the skills they've developed. You know, with the conversations program as well, students are developing empathy and cross-cultural communication skills. And so the skills that they are developing and able to communicate and then put on their resumes is a huge benefit for them. And we, you know, have students that will self-report having developed leadership and increased their and breaking down stereotypes. You know, that's something a lot of students, we talked about in our session yesterday, a lot of students come in with this single story or narrative of another country or another culture, and being able to walk away saying, I now have a different narrative of that culture. So lots of benefits afforded to students and to faculty.
Could you expand a little bit? Because I keep telling my students how great it is that they're going to be a Department of State alumni. Can you give like an example? Do they have more access to scholarships? What are some benefits that you know of?
Yeah, and after both of the challenge and the conversation concludes, we connect them with the Stevens Initiative that provides them with guidance. They get added to various networks that then post different opportunities. For example, here's an opportunity to apply to receive a grant to do a community project in your local area. There's professional development opportunities that are, you know, afforded. And so you essentially get put into a network and have access to an online system that you have to sign up for. You're being put into that system. And then anytime the State Department is putting out opportunities such as apply for this grant or apply for this other, you know, opportunity for study abroad or such as that, they are allowed to participate in those opportunities. So we go into much more detail at the end of the program with the Stevens Initiative on that.
Oh, that's exciting. So yay. And also, I love this. This is something, you know, I'm old school, I guess. So the badges are very cool.
Yes.
Benefit of that they have the badges that they can put on their electronic social media and resumes and LinkedIn and that in those areas. So I thought that was really cool as well. So, okay, let's see. So we talked about benefits, but let's go to the other side and talk a little bit about the challenges of this program. You always got to talk about the good and the bad, right?
Always. Yeah, there's, you know, I could also talk for hours on the challenges that we've experienced and the barriers with virtual exchange. They're real. You know, I think it's a myth to think that it's easy just to implement virtual exchange. You know, for something maybe like the Conversations program, it is kind of, you know, fairly simple. It's certainly more simple than doing a project-based virtual exchange. But it does take time. And there, you know, when we're working in the realm of technology, there's always room for glitches. There's, like we experienced yesterday in our session, where we were trying to send 500 people into breakout rooms and 200 made it and 200 didn't. There's things like that that will always potentially occur in virtual exchange. I think there's, you know, so you have the technology challenges that are always coming up. And then you have the cross-cultural element as well, where you have faculty who are experienced and students who are engaging in cross-cultural communication and collaboration for the very first time. And so, you know, different cultures have different expectations about time, about commitment, about communication. And we are always constantly coaching our faculty through those challenges. For example, if it takes a while to hear back from your partner facilitator on a time that you're going to have for your team meeting, or understanding maybe misunderstandings that occur in team meetings, or so those kinds of things can certainly come up in virtual exchange, but they're in my opinion, good challenges to have because it provides this area of growth and you're learning and, you know, developing empathy, developing adaptability and flexibility. And those skills are developed through experiencing sometimes these challenges. So, you know, those are kind of some things that come to mind. And that's why I think it's also really helpful for faculty who are experienced or wanting to, you know, get it started with virtual exchange is to participate in programs that have kind of a central management and that can provide that ongoing coaching and support along the way, you know, and help you work through some of those challenges that might come up. But I would never let those challenges keep someone from participating in the exchange. I think the benefits far outweigh the challenges and barriers that could pop up. So
sure. I mean, I think the challenges are very minimal and more challenges that you experience in any project that you do. I mean, these are typical challenges mm-hmm. that I have in class every day. So sure. I think that certainly the benefits outweigh the challenges of that. So with that idea in mind of there are challenges, and you guys have been running this program for a long time, 5 years, what advice do you have for faculty who've never implemented a virtual exchange before?
Yeah, I would say definitely try it. I would say find, you know, do some research online. You know, obviously IREX and Global Solutions, we are implementing two, you know, very different programs that are great opportunities, like for you as experiencing, are great to get involved in and just to test it out and see, you know, what is the experience like? Is this something that's worth it and beneficial to my students? I would say, you know, you can also take the route of developing your own virtual exchange. But most of the time, what we do see is, you know, faculty find a virtual exchange that's being implemented by another organization where they can come in and take the curriculum and be already partnered with someone in another country, and they simply have to implement it within their curriculum. And then from there, they begin to morph their courses or, you know, redesign their courses around virtual exchange or, you know, additional honors clubs or things like that that allow for, you know, engagement of virtual exchange. So I would say definitely there's, you know, Stevens Initiative, check out the Stevens Initiative website. They have various different programs that are afforded that are very different from Global Solutions. Some are similar and that have different benefits for students, and get started there. And then really what, you know, we would love to see is faculty taking it to another level with their institutions where it becomes a normal part of the curriculum and of what institutions are doing around virtual exchange. So there's plenty of resources out there. I would definitely say start with the Stevens Initiative and then check out Global Solutions and IREX as well. And there's lots of opportunities out there.
Great. I will put the website address for both IREX and for the Stevens Initiative on the podcast description. So if people want to access that, hopefully it'll be easy for them to do that. So yes, I didn't, you know, and it is interesting when I first started this program that there's so many organizations involved. I think that's kind of cool. You have the Stevens mm-hmm. Initiative, you have IREX, the Department of State, and then what was the Aspen Institute. So it's, I think, really interesting that so many organizations feel like it's so important for students to get this experience. And so, and I think your organization, that's kind of its sole purpose, is to, you know, just have people have these cultural experiences. Is that correct?
Yeah, one of the focuses with IREX, yeah, it definitely is when we're thinking about education, you know, providing equal access and open access for students, for faculty across the world. You know, when we're thinking about education, is just giving that access. And that's something that Virtual Exchange does and that Stevens Initiative is focused on. And just to, you know, help you clarify, like Stevens Initiative underneath the Aspen Institute. So Aspen Institute does a wealth of other elements as well. So Stevens Initiative would be underneath of that. And so yeah, there's, you know, when you go to the Stevens Initiative, you'll see various other organizations, SOLIA and others, that are doing virtual exchange programs. And some are, you know, specifically focused on, you know, K-12. Others are focused on in regards to, you know, community colleges or higher ed institutions. So many opportunities out there mm-hmm. To focus on. I know for IREX, we are actually also implementing Global Solutions for high school students as well. And so, you know, we are taking that virtual exchange to different audiences across the board. So
that's great. I think I always tell students, you know, when organizations like this, and you know, you hear like the Department of State is sponsoring this, it kind of tells you how important these exchanges are and how valuable the government thinks that this is for our country, to have students have these cultural experiences so that they can broaden their horizons without leaving the country. Because of course, right now with COVID, it's been almost impossible to travel a lot these last year and a half, 2 years. But even when we can travel, you know, so few students actually do study abroad. And that's where I really see the value of these virtual exchanges, is it's bringing this to students who may never have the opportunity to do a study abroad, but they'll still have that same experience in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I completely just agree with what you were saying. And, you know, the Stevens Initiative was birthed out of, you know, the former ambassador, Christopher Stevens, who really devoted his life to helping build bridges and break down barriers and build connections between youth in the United States and youth in the MENA region, the Middle East and North Africa. And so that's where Stevens Initiative is coming out of, that very idea of, we want to help build bridges with youth in these different areas. And a way to do that is through virtual exchange. And like you were saying, it provides this access to youth who, you know, can't leave their home institutions, can't do those study abroad in person, study abroad programs. And it affords them the same opportunity to break down stereotypes and to develop this global competency and to really help build these amazing bridges of connection. And that's something too, when I think about virtual exchange, I feel like there's a growing conversation around, or this concept around that, you know, when you mentioned the pandemic and, you know, before the pandemic, virtual exchange was, you know, just kind of coming onto this horizon, and then the pandemic hit and everything moves virtual, right? And a lot of those in-person study abroad programs stop, and everyone's kind of looking to pivot, and how do we now continue to gain these experiences, but we can't do in person. So the virtual just gets kind of thrown into the forefront. And what, you know, a lot of people have seen virtual exchanges like this replacement for study abroad or in-person study abroad, temporary replacement. But really what we're trying to develop, that, you know, that it's not just a replacement for study abroad, right? It is, virtual exchange really deserves its own right and place on institutions and in curriculum and in the conversation of what it can afford, and, you know, across and within curriculum, and really providing this incredible access for youth who, you know, either due to finances or family constraints or whatever, are not able to travel, and they can still have these really rewarding experiences. And so, yeah, really a huge proponent of virtual exchange in itself. So
I think it's great, because not only just all the benefits that you've talked about previously, but I think virtual exchange is also a way to get students interested in maybe traveling more and mm-hmm. reaching out to more people, talking to people from different areas other than their own. Because I have, just to give you an example, I have 15 students that volunteered for the Global Conversations. I struggle to get 5 students to study abroad in a semester. Mm-hmm. We're a pretty small college, and yep. so that's why we belong to the consortium, is, you know, we need to share programs just to get things to run. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a great benefit, and I just think it gets people excited, and they get to, I had one of my study abroad students was talking about how, you know, once you meet people from other countries, you want to talk to them, you want to keep talking to them, and you want to go visit them. And, you know, so I think that's a really cool aspect of the virtual study abroad, is because they do get to, you know, especially with technology today, we get to see people and talk to them. And even though it's not face to face, it's got a lot of those same qualities. And so I think I'm really excited for students that they'll get to know these students from Jordan and Iraq, mm-hmm. and hopefully maybe they'll go visit them someday, and or keep in touch with them and keep those connections. So I think that's a really cool part of it as well.
Yeah, we definitely have many students who remain really good friends with those who they have been connected with on their binational teams. And that's, you know, that is amazing to see. You know, that's these new connections that are being established with faculty and with students, and that they do have that access. And like you said, we have actually many students who become interested in study abroad after participating in virtual exchange. And that's really great to see as well. So
yeah, because I think a lot of students, where I live anyway, so I'm in central Illinois, and so a lot of students have never really been, we live in a very rural area, very farming community, and even though we're the home of the University of Illinois, which is a Big Ten school. Mm-hmm. Our students in the community college are from this immediate area, and a lot of them, you know, their families have been here for generations. They're very comfortable here, and so they don't really feel a need. Why should I go to anywhere? You know, I'm happy here. My friends are here. My family's here. So I think, you know, this is a nice way to kind of slowly introduce them to, you know, there's a big world out there. And even though it's great here and you love it here, you know, there's other things, cool things to experience too. And so, you know, get out and do some new things.
Yeah. And I think there's this element too of, you know, the world is becoming smaller, even though you have, like you were saying, your students are like, I'm good, I'm where I'm at. Like, we don't really have the need to talk to people outside of the local community. With where the world is going, and especially, you know, since the pandemic and so many things moved to virtual or virtual work, so many companies that are, you know, remote work still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does that look like to connect and be able to have the skills, the workforce skills, to be able to collaborate, communicate virtually in this remote realm that still exists. But even, you know, as the world's becoming smaller, and, you know, even the smallest company to the largest company, to some element or degree, would be having a cross-cultural touch of some sort. And so, you know, I think to develop those skills, like you were saying, for your students, and to help them see that, you know, the world is larger, right? It's bigger than that. And so, yeah, I think that's a great benefit for virtual exchange.
So anything else, Lindsay, that you can think of before we wrap it up? This was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed. Thanks for the opportunity to be able to talk about virtual exchange. If anyone is interested in participating in our program, I'm sure we can share our website with them, where we have various information sessions over the next several weeks where we go into more detail about the program. And if anyone is interested in learning more about Global Solutions, we'd be happy to connect with them. So yeah, we're currently outreaching for our next cohort, and it's been great. Been really great to connect with you, and so excited that you're participating in our program, and hopefully can have some great things to share about it afterwards.
Yes. One last thing. So you offer programs in the spring and the fall, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So no summer programs. So yeah, so people generally kind of like mid-fall and mid-spring is generally when people sign up for the next semester. So like mid-spring would be fall registration, and then fall semester would be for spring semester.
Correct. Yeah. So our application is now open. We'll be ending it November 28th. That's okay. The deadline to apply for the spring. And then we notify faculty in December, and we then provide training in January, and then launch the programs in February and March. And so February, March, and then early April for the programs.
So you have a busy spring. So in the spring, so when is the summer or the fall registration? When do people usually apply? It's in the summer, right?
In the fall, we would actually, for the fall semester, we actually launch outreach during the spring. Okay. So we're actually, because most faculty are actually looking to, but we wouldn't close, you know, the application till the summer. So we give a little bit more time for, you know, that application process. But most faculty are already planning for their fall semester back in the spring. So we do launch, you know, outreach typically in that time frame.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I will make sure to put those website addresses on the podcast description, so people can easily access that if they would like to. And thanks again. And we'll talk soon. So maybe we'll have to have a follow-up session and see how things go for me. And you can talk about any kind of new programs or new things that you guys are doing. I'd love to hear more.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. And again, I really appreciate the opportunity to connect with you today.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening. I hope you got some good information from today's podcast, and you will continue listening to Growing International. If you have any questions, please email me at jlittleton@parkland.edu. I'm always happy to talk to you online, so please send me any questions that you have. Also, I hope you continue listening to this podcast. We are hosted on Podbean, and also we are now on Spotify and Google. So again, thank you so much, and catch you later.